Please stand for a gospel reading from Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, "I came to throw fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already ignited. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is finished. Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Yes, from now on, there will be five divided in one household, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "Whenever you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say that a rainstorm is coming, and so it happens. And whenever a south wind blows, you say that it is going to be hot, and it happens. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky, but how is it that you do not know how to interpret this present time?" O Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus says in our reading, "Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth?" The answer is unexpected. "No, I tell you, but rather division." Jesus did not come to bring peace. He came to bring division. In order to properly understand Jesus, we must understand that he is not talking about being divisive about all things. Being divisive about all things would be ridiculous. For example, every time someone says one thing, you have to say the opposite. To every yes, you would say no. By necessity, we would then repel one another, unable to agree about anything. No, this is certainly not what Jesus is saying when he says that he has come to bring division. Elsewhere, he says that we should be agreeable. But the one thing that we as Jesus' disciples must not give ground on is God's word. This is where there has always been division and will continue to be division. The division has existed right from the beginning. God said, "Don't eat from this certain tree." This was his word. Adam and Eve should have kept it. Neither of them should have been moved from that word. As it turns out, they both fell. But that was worth maintaining division over. After the fall into sin, God gave his promise of redemption and forgiveness through the seed of the woman. That is God's word. The descendants of Adam and Eve need to hold to this promise of the seed of the woman who crushes the serpent's head. The first person born in the natural way, Adam and Eve's son Cain, ended up becoming a murderer. And why did he murder? It was over this: faith. He murdered his believing brother Abel. That's a tremendous division over God's word. If Abel would have sided with Cain, even if Abel would have said to Cain, it's fine, you're fine, doesn't matter, there wouldn't have been any division. There wouldn't have been any murder. There also, however, wouldn't be any gospel. There wouldn't be any kingdom of God. All that would have been left would be the devil's kingdom with his lies. That first family in the garden already experienced division. Jesus' words in our gospel reading were already true then. Subsequent history has continued to bear this out. Last week and this week in our epistle reading, we've been hearing this refrain: by faith Abel offered his sacrifice. By faith Enoch was taken up. By faith Noah built the ark. By faith Moses did what he did. What all of these people had in common was faith in God's word, faith in God's promises. God's word cannot be given up. by us as Christians if we want to continue to be Christians. Otherwise, we will no longer be living by faith. We'll be living by unbelief, and instead belief in something else. So what is meant then by living by faith and living by God's word? And the answer is the scriptures. The scriptures are God's inspired word. God has revealed those words to these writers, and we're required to keep them. No one has the right to change them or to ignore what God has revealed. Now, as you know, the scriptures have many things that they discuss, and I think a lot of folks assume it's minor stuff that folks disagree on. We're all pretty much on the same page. But it's not just the fine points that cause divisions. In fact, I think it's the main things that cause divisions. Let's look at some of the most essential teachings. We have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments teach us how we are to behave. The Ten Commandments are just as serious of God's word as that commandment that was given in the garden. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And it has just as far-reaching of consequences. The Ten Commandments teach us that we are to believe only in God, that we are to pray, to use God's name correctly, that we're to hear his word, that we're to obey our parents and other authorities, that we're not to murder, that we're not to commit adultery, that we're not to steal, that we're not to lie, that we're not to covet. Now think of the division that takes place over this word from God. There are tons of people who believe that these commandments should be optional at best, that we're not required to believe only in the Lord, that we're not required to pray from our heart, that we have no need to listen to God's word or receive Christ's sacraments. They don't feel as though they need to honor their parents or honor their bosses or honor other authorities, so on and so forth. With all 10 commandments, there are tons of people, perhaps people sitting right here today, who say, I don't care. It's not up to me. However, it is our duty, and faith demands, that we do not run away from these commandments so as to please those who want to ignore them or to break them. And that is going to cause division. Because there are people who want to do that. And when we say, no, you can't do that, there will be division. And that's all right. God's commandments are good, and they're right, and they're holy, and they'll bless those who keep them. Those who argue otherwise are really no different than the serpent who spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden and said, oh, you're not going to be blessed that way. You'll be blessed in this other way. You'd be happier if you broke those commandments. There's division over how we should live according to the commandments that God has given. There's also a severe disagreement over who God is and what he does. We confess in the creed that God has made me and all creatures. You know full well that there are tons of people who disagree very strongly on that point. The popular myth these days is that we're the product of chance and the survival of the fittest. The creed confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God's Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he'll come again to judge the living and the dead. Here we have the very heart of our faith. As Christians, Jesus is the seed of the woman who crushed the serpent's head. He has redeemed us by his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Jesus is the revelation of God's will toward us sinners, that he would not have us remain in our sins, alienated forever from him, but that we should be adopted by baptism into his Son. When Jesus says in our reading that he has come to cast fire on the earth and that he has a baptism to undergo, he's talking about the work of salvation that he does. His salvation is what brings about division. And that division can go all the way down into our families. 3 against 2, and 2 against 3, and father against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, and so on. This division is very serious. It's no laughing matter. It is a division between good and evil. That can sound pompous, that it's a division between good and evil, but that's only when it's understood incorrectly. It can sound as though if it's a division between good and evil, well, we're the good ones, and the others are the bad ones, but that's not how it is. We all together are evil. Jesus alone and his kingdom is good. It's not as though also we had the good sense to choose Jesus. No, we're evil. Jesus chose us, incorporated us, gave us the gift of faith. Without Jesus, we are as enslaved to sin as anybody else. Jesus, who is the truth, is the one who sets us free. And with his Holy Spirit, he begins to work on us, evil creatures, to fight against our flesh, and he promises to bring this about, complete healing in heaven. Division comes about because we cannot deny Jesus. We cannot deny his saving truth. He is sinners' only hope. If we give up on Jesus in order to avoid division, then we are necessarily siding with Jesus' enemies. Okay, fine, there's not going to be division, but the reason why there's going to be division is because there's no longer going to be a fight between good and evil. The fire that Jesus has come to cast upon the earth, the baptism that he is baptized with, this is to fight against and conquer our corrupted bodies and souls, to redeem us, to set us free from the devil's lies. And if we give up, there's not going to be a division anymore, but there won't be God's kingdom anymore either. God, with his Holy Spirit and his word, wrestles mightily with us in order to continually bring us to repentance and faith. And that's a fight. It's a war. There will be pain because of that. There will even be casualties. And that's how it's supposed to be. Please take note of that point. We haven't taught this point very well for a long time, and it's caused great harm. Jesus says that he has come to bring division. Paul says that there will be division even within the church. Strife will be present even in the household. The worst strife that there can be. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. People are going to get upset. This is what the scriptures tell us will happen, and we also see it in the examples that are provided in the history of God's people. Think of how Paul was treated by the Jews and the Gentiles. It is only by many afflictions that we may enter the kingdom of heaven, Paul says. That's how it is always going to go, because Jesus' enemies haven't given up. These enemies want us to give up. Since this is the way that the Christian life has to go, not a bed of roses, but a fight to the death with our flesh, with the world, with the devil, isn't it terribly harmful when Christians are led to believe that the Christian life is easy and peaceful and inoffensive? What if soldiers were trained in such a way, where they were led to believe that they would receive flowers and chocolates on the battlefield instead of a hail of bullets? That would be some very poor training indeed. So also we Christians must understand that living the Christian life creates division. This is why it isn't necessarily a bad thing when you find strife and conflict in a congregation or in a school. A congregation, we always want them to be so peaceful, perhaps as peaceful as a graveyard. But you don't find much life in a graveyard. A congregation can be peaceful because there's no conflict. And there's no conflict because the Word of God isn't attacking people's flesh. and working it up. No blows are being landed. Everybody's just boxing the air. They're just pretending that they're living the Christian life. Instead of applying God's word, when those blows land, they hurt. Real people need to come to repentance for real sins. And when that happens, it really hurts. But there is also then real forgiveness and healing as well. Now, fighting probably doesn't sound like much fun, but realize that it is also by fighting that progress is made. Hopefully, you've discovered some kind of progress like this in your own life. I hope that you've had the experience where God's word comes to you and you really dislike it. It makes you angry. In fact, it especially makes you angry at the one who said it. That's very often where our fury gets directed. How dare he say that? How dare she judge me? That's how it is with Cain, too. He doesn't storm up into heaven and fight his fight with God. He attacks the messenger. And so it is with God's word. We don't storm and fight God. We fight the messenger whom he has sent. We figure that it's the messenger's fault for how we're feeling. I hope, I say, that you've had this experience, but not that you've become a casualty. That is to say, that you've gone off like Cain and alienated yourself from God's word, but rather that you've had that experience and that you've come to your senses. When you've had that experience where you've been angry at God's word, but then come to your senses like David with the prophet Nathan, that is very educational. It makes you realize that God's word is not something that is to be assumed. I'm fine, I'll always be fine because I've always had God's word. Nor is it something that's to be ignored, but it's to be applied to you. And that fight takes place within you. So we must not get distracted with schemes for quick and easy growth that promise to create no division. Such schemes can hardly be the gospel that Jesus is talking about, because Jesus says, I've come to bring about division on the earth. Faith from unbelief. Instead, we must recognize that growth in faith happens the same way that it has always happened from the very beginning. It's always happened against our will, so to speak. Think of those first people brought to repentance. They had to be dragged out of the bushes, confronted by God's will. They became terrified because of their sins. That's how it goes. It's not meant to be a bed of roses. It's a fight. But if it weren't for Jesus, we would all be left with just the devil's kingdom and his lies, and we'd be at peace in a way. But that peace would be a deadly peace. As it is, Jesus fights for us to save us from the devil's lies and from our own selves with his truth and his Holy Spirit. Thus, we must not be ashamed of the division that Jesus causes. It's not bad. We also must not be ashamed of Jesus' words that can cause divisions. It's not bad. To be ashamed of that would be to be ashamed of salvation itself, because we have been separated. We've been divided from the evil that we have within ourselves. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.